Hello! Welcome to this episode of Criminally Underrated. I am Dan, aka Lucid, a music lover, a music listener, a music maker. But here we are on the Criminally Underrated podcast, where we talk about the most underrated songs from your favorite artists. Today with me, I have the wonderful Ben. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Of course, I'm happy to have you. Before we get started, make sure to rate, like, review, and all those things for the podcast. Let me know whether you agree with us, whether these songs are underrated or not. Make sure to let me know what your underrated songs are. And if you want an extended version of this podcast, or if you want to watch the video version, you can head over to Patreon, where there's an awesome community of like-minded individuals who also love music. Tell us about you, Ben. Who are you?
My name is Ben. I'm also known as Ben Shouts on YouTube. Hello, my name is Ben, and I'm happy. I'm from Perth. I also do reaction videos.
With competition.
Like you, I also, yeah, I know, we're enemies coming together.
No, that's not true.
And yeah, I just listen to music and have fun. That's pretty much me on this side of the world.
Cool. Thanks for coming on. Okay, so if you haven't read the title of this podcast, which, I mean, is a bit weird if you haven't, you should probably know that we're actually going to be talking about Paramore today. So if you don't know Paramore, they came about, what was it, 2006? Were they when they originally came onto the scene?
Maybe five.
I'm Maybe 2005, 2005.
I'd have to fact check.
Yeah. And they had mega hits such as Misery Business, which you might know. The Only Exception, which is like probably my favorite Paramore song, actually.
Really?
I'm a ballad boy. I love a ballad.
And I do like it, but I think it's quite mainstream for me in terms of their music. I'm like,
That's fair enough. That's fair enough.
We're already arguing. I love it.
Paramore are like a pop punk band from the early noughties, but actually they've kind of actually really gone through different genres. Songs such as Still Into You.
Oh, yeah, banger.
I really like that album After Laughter. Like that's one of the ones, that's probably the album I've listened to of theirs like the most. Yeah. And then most recently they put out an album called This Is Why. But today we're not going to be talking about their hits. We're going to be talking about their most criminally underrated songs. Ben has chosen three great songs for us to dissect one by one. And then at the end, I will decide if any of them are deserving of the title of criminally underrated. And those ones will then be added to my playlist of the top tier criminally underrated songs ever written in the history of humankind, according to us, lol. According to me.
Well, according to you, yeah. I'm like, this sounds like a huge power trip.
I mean, it's my podcast. Just saying. Why else would I make my own podcast? No, joke. So, Ben, like, how did you actually discover Paramore originally?
So I have the vivid memory. So my friend, it must have been 2007. So I do claim an OG status, but I will admit that I came into Paramore at Riot, which is their sophomore album. Mm-hmm. My friend, she was in Sanity, which is, I guess, like an HMV in England. So it's just like a music store.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't exist anymore in Australia, so it's quite nostalgic as well now. I eventually worked in one, but they play an album that's like, you know, charting or whatnot, but it'd be played for the entire day or like within a certain amount of time within a day, each week. And she was in a Sanity store and she heard this music. She was like, what the hell, like, this is so cool, this is like such mine and Ben's vibe. And she asked them, like, what is this album? And they would always have the album on display, so obviously Riot was there on display. And she sent me, what did we do back then, god, 2007, I can't remember how we shared music. Maybe she just brought me the CD or she just played a song. I can't even remember now.
You ripped it off off of her like iTunes or something.
I was probably like lime wiring it, let's be real. Back in the day. So yeah, I think that probably the first song would have been Misery Business that she shared, because that is obviously their biggest hit from their album. We became very just attached to it. We obviously then went back through their first album and then just followed them on their journey. We've done like music videos to them. Like we used to like always like sing to webcams. So there's a lot of like, on my channel, there's a Crush, Crush, Crush video from like the olden days.
Everybody search for that and repost it.
Every album is so just reflective of what's happening within the band.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single album that has the same band members or the same, like there's a lot of different stuff that's gone on throughout the albums.
Yeah.
Which is really cool because obviously the lyrics then become so much more meaningful when you think about them from, you know, Josh or Haley's perspective. But yeah, I guess for me, they just became, a lot of their songs are just very relatable. They've obviously helped me through like my emo times. so yeah, like, and I think two of the songs I chose are from the first album and then other ones, you know, just from a single release.
Yeah.
So I think for me, that in itself just shows, I guess, the pull they have on, I guess, someone who's listened to them for a long time. I think a lot of people will relate to the, you know, these songs that don't get the attention of the Decodes or the Misery Business and all that jazz.
Yeah. Yeah, I did notice how you picked two from right beginning, which is, I mean, it's good for me. So, because like my discovery of Paramore, I think I probably would have been in your friendship group at the time. That makes it sound as if like I've been stalking you. No, I mean, I think had we existed in the same place, we would have probably been in the similar kind of friendship group. But I would have been mm-hmm. one of the other friends who's like, my friend is obsessed with Paramore. It's like my childhood friends, Amy and Kirsty and Sarah, shout out to them, were Paramore nuts. Like this was proper mm-hmm. emo era. I had black side fringe,
yeah.
wore like the black skinny jeans and the purple hoodie and all that kind of stuff. It was that era. I was less into the music and I guess just was wearing the clothes, I guess. But my core memory of discovering who Paramore is actually them playing Misery Business on Guitar Hero. Because Ooh. Every single time that we'd hang out. So if anyone doesn't know, for young people, Guitar Hero is a game where you have like a big plastic guitar and you play, it's like a rhythm game that you play on like the original like PS2 and Xbox and stuff. Every single time we'd hang out, they'd get the Guitar Hero out and they'd play it and they would 100% it. Like they could get every single note. Like every single time it'd be like, da-na-na-na-na-na, and we'd all be like jumping up and down. But in the last couple of years, I've definitely been more interested, like particularly in the album After Laughter, because I then made friends with somebody later on the line, my friend Ash, who introduced me to that album. And he was like, Paramore aren't just the pop punk stuff. There's so much more and every single album is different. Oh, and this is why I reacted to it on my YouTube as well. So I've heard a bit more of the recent stuff, but I'm certainly not as big a fan as Ben is. So I'm learning today. Like I hadn't heard any of these songs before Ben sent them to me. I hadn't heard any of these songs. So I'm that perspective, a little bit more fresh. But today Ben is going to convince me that his three underrated songs are actually criminally underrated and should be in my top tier. Are you ready to go?
Always ready.
Would you like to introduce your first song?
My first criminally underrated Paramore song.
Yeah, okay. Remains to be seen.
Is from their debut album, All We Know Is Falling, and it is called Franklin.
Okay, let's have a little listen to remind ourselves. After everything has changed, everything has changed. So, Franklin, from the first album, tell me about this song. Why have you chosen it for one of your three songs?
I think for me, obviously there's a huge nostalgic pull. Just the essence, the sound of it is such that longing feeling for simpler times or a time in your life where everything was great. I mean, like Hayley says, like everything has changed. So for me, I always think about like past friendships or even just yourself wanting to go back to somewhere where it was peaceful, it was calm, or I guess maybe it wasn't at that time, but in retrospect now you're here and you're like, wow, I wish I could be there. And for me, just the way it's delivered, it's such a pulling, like it wants to pull you back and you can feel it like really just like pulling you. You're like, ugh. Whether it's true or not, obviously, you know, on the internet, but it's such a band driven song as well. Like I think this is when Jeremy like left the band. He eventually came back at some point. But that in itself, again, is just that friendship like breakdown, wanting someone back. And I love just within the song that Josh is the one going, could you remind me of a time?
Yeah.
Like it's like almost like someone's now pleading with Hayley, was obviously, she's quite the front runner. She is the, you know, the voice and things like that. It's just like, even just the lyrics, like we won't be home, the place we live, it's not where we belong. I guess looking at it from a Paramore perspective, is like, you blow up, your hometown's probably never going to be the same now because you're in such a different place. But I guess it's obviously very reflective of real life and yourself.
Yeah.
It's just sad. I love a good sad song. Like, any sad song is going to kill me.
Yes.
Like, I'm such a sad
me too. I like, honestly, like, I've some people in my life, they'll be like, why do you listen to so much sad music? And I'm like, sad music's the best. Like, I don't understand what you're talking about.
I want to be sadder.
I just love hearing an artist sharing that with me. And I love being able to kind of like feel what they're feeling. I think for me, like, the best music is stuff where you can connect to what they're trying to tell you. And whatever feeling that is, as long as it's strongly telling me what it is, for me, that makes it good. You know, that's what good music is about.
Yeah. And I feel with Franklin, it's definitely on that rawer side. Like, it's not super polished. It almost sounds like it's recorded in a garage. Like, you know, it's so vulnerable and just so real. And then just like the ending where it's like, do you remember that? Do you remember that? Just like finding an old friend and talking to someone's like, oh, do you remember that? Like, those times. I think for me, it's such a longing song. And it's got, like I said, it's got the nostalgic pull. So whenever I listen to it, I can just picture exactly where I was when it really hit me and like what I was longing for. To me, it's such an individual song talking about something quite general, but not many artists, I guess, showcase that in terms of just wanting to be somewhere or talking about the breakdown of a band.
Yeah.
Like, it's just so, so raw and real.
I think, like you were saying, like, it's a nostalgic song for you because obviously you discovered it when you were with that age and everything. But like, the song itself is written to be nostalgic. It's made to kind of express those feelings for her. And then suddenly you're like, just listening to the song makes me feel nostalgic, and she's feeling nostalgic, and it's like nostalgia squared. I totally agree with you. I love the chords. There's like a melancholic feeling to the chord progression. Mm-hmm. Like, for me, it was like homesickness, you know, but homesickness, not because necessarily because you've left home, but because what you thought of as being home has changed. It just nails that feeling really, really well. Another thing that I liked was like how the verses kind of quite kind of frenetic, like drum beat. It is not where we belong, and then when it switches into the chorus, it's much more kind of like long and open. It's almost like a kind of a tightness, like an anxiety, and then like a feeling of just like letting that feeling out in the choruses. So I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, it's like a drainer song, and I just love the abruptness of the start. It's just like, and she just, like, it's almost like you're like, what? It catches you off guard, which I love as well.
Yeah.
I like a song that kind of takes you somewhere where you, I guess, never really thought it was going to take you.
Yeah. I'm not sure about the abruptness of the start. Maybe like if it's because like I played it and was like, oh, okay. That's probably what she wants you to feel, I'd imagine.
But like I said, it's just, I think with their albums and their songs, I love how personal it all is. Like you said, we connect with artists who really get to showcase themselves or those feelings and emotions. Mm-hmm. And I guess knowing what they're going through. And I think they were like 15 or 16 at this age.
Oh my God, really?
So like, that adds another element. I'm like, how are you writing these songs and I'm relating to them when I'm like a 30-year-old? Like,
yeah.
That's just wild to me.
That's amazing. Being able to feel that and articulate it, like, God, when I was that age, I wouldn't be able to articulate that even in a conversation, let alone in a brilliantly written song with complex chords and stuff. Like, come on. Like, there was something I really related to with this song in the kind of changing nature of like what home kind of means. I think when you're younger, I think you kind of have a very specific view of what like homesickness is. It's like, I am literally away from home. I have grown up and now I'm kind of missing the comforts of home. But then when like, so I did quite a lot of traveling, and the nature of kind of homesickness really changed because I started realizing that actually going home is a place where you don't have to explain yourself. You don't have to introduce yourself. You can just slip into an old pair of slippers. Now it kind of represents like, okay, it's always there for me. I'll always have that kind of comfortable feeling. But now it kind of represents something different where it feels like. There's also a nature of like my hometown being a very small place when it comes to like going to the local pub or like, you know, walking down the road. I got friggin' heckled walking down the road wearing a pink jumper. And like someone was shouting gay at me across the street. I was like, in my 20s, I was like, what the fuck? Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And so it didn't spoil it because I still do have like a good relationship with home, but like it did change it a bit. So yeah, I totally relate to it, but in a slightly different way. Like I can attach my own kind of feelings to that. And I think that really does speak to how well written the song is.
Yeah. And like, even if home is maybe just a state of mind or a moment in time, like for me, this makes me want to go back to like being 16, 17 and being depressed and so sad and just being up late chatting to my friend on like MSN or whatever we were doing. Like that time capsule moment for me is like, while it's not healthy, obviously, or a great place to be in, but I'm like, I miss that because it's such a simpler time.
Yeah.
Obviously, at the time, it was the worst time. But like I said, that removal, I'm like, I wish I was sad and just that's all I focused on. Whereas obviously now real life is so different. And you don't get those times all the time just to be there and chatting with your friends about.
Yeah, just having the time, you know.
Nice and sad.
It's, again, the best songs. And was there anything else you wanted to say about this song?
No, other than I think we've just confirmed that it's criminally underrated. I mean, how could you
that remains to be seen. I kind of felt like it needed like another level of like dynamic.
Yeah, it's very one. It's like, it's the same.
Yeah, and that's not necessarily bad, actually. It's just like, I think that's kind of maybe what I was expecting.
To counteract it, if something was to change dramatically in your life, it would be very abrupt. Yeah. So...
Oh my God, the abruptness of the song represents the abruptness of the change in her life. Fucking hell. Oh my God, we're getting the heavy shit.
And the one note could easily be that's just sometimes you feel you don't have, you just...
You don't have levels.
No, you're just one level.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Do you remember that? Do you remember? If you're loving what you're hearing and you want more, then head over to my Patreon. Over there, you can listen to the extended cut of every single episode where you can follow our every strange tangent that we go on. You can also watch the video version if that so pleases you. You can also get the chance to be part of the Patreon call-in episode where you can tell me your own underrated songs that you believe belong in the Criminally Underrated playlist. So yeah, head over to Patreon, search for Lucen. It is called The Crying Club, or you can click the link in the show notes. Anyway, back to the episode. Cool. So let's go on to the next song.
So staying within the realm of debut, and we are going in with Here We Go Again.
Here We Go Again. Let's have a little listen. And here we go again, with all the things you said and not a minute spent. To think that we regret, so we just take it back. These words that hold our breath, forget the things we swore we'd make. Okay, so tell me about this song. Why have you picked it?
My God. It's not as nostalgic pulling, but it definitely makes you think about a time where you've gone through a really bad breakup. I relate this more with friends. I think obviously you could do it with a partner for sure. Mm. Again, me and my friend, we filmed a video. We were like singing and we had written all the names of people that had wronged us.
Oh my God.
We were like removing. We like ripped them up. Like it's very dramatic.
That is sick. I actually love that. Like you do remind me so much of the same friends who I remember sat in a bus stop and her burning a picture of one of her ex-friends.
Yes. Very us. I love the beat. I mean, I'm not a bloody music person. I always just say, oh, the production's good. I don't go into the snares or the majors, whatever you say. I'm like, oh yeah, I know what that means. I love that. Dude, again, it's like, it's their classic, like happy kind of vibe. Like it still gives you that. But then when you actually go on with the lyrics, you're like, oh, this is actually really heartbreaking and sad. And she's talking about, you know, the ending of some type of friendship relationship. And again, when you add that element of their band, it's sad that, you know, they're breaking up and someone's leaving.
I love that they're going through all of this like band drama on the first album, like bloody like 20 years ago.
Literally.
And they're still doing it.
Yeah. I think the lyrics are really cool. Like, forget the things we saw we meant. Like, so we just take it back. We hold our breath. Mm. Like, who would I be attached? Always, you know, the one at your hip. Not thinking about it. All the things we said. Not a minute spent to, you know, thinking about that we'd regret them. It's just those classic things, you know, saying things in the heat of the moment.
Yeah.
Not expecting that you have to regret them or that you wish you could take them back.
Yeah.
And just like her, when she's like, can't say I'm sad to see you go. And then it's just that, because I'm not like, I'm actually not sad that it's ending. So it's like, yes, it's sad. We've had this breakdown, but actually like, fuck off.
Yeah. Like,
can't say I'm sad to see you go. I'm not sad, so I'm not going to say it. But again, if you don't actually read the lyrics, it just does sound like a sad song. But on the off spin, it's like, but I'm not. Like, see ya.
It's actually kind of, it's has sad, a lot of attitude, like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, she's the original sass queen. She's like, can't say I'm sad because I'm not. but again, it's that, like, even the ending where she's just like, because I'm not, like, it's, she's saying because I'm not, but she sounds broken.
Yeah.
So it's like, is she saying it to convince herself? And while you say all these things, you're still so sad. You're like, I don't want you. Like, I can't say I'm sad to see you go. But when you reflect on it, you are sad at the end of the day. You wrote a whole song about it.
And right. And maybe she's saying it. She's saying, I'm not sad to see you go. But it's like a defensive thing.
Yeah.
Especially when you're younger as well. Your immediate kind of thing is to go, I hate you. I always hated you. Blah, blah, blah. Fuck you. Mm-hmm. But it's defensive because you're trying to protect yourself from the pain.
Yeah.
And so the fact that you said that you can actually hear that within her performance, she might be saying one thing, but it's clear that she's feeling another. I love how that kind of works on multiple levels, because it's easy to write a song and kind of like say something literal, but to kind of have it have those kind of multi-dimensional incidental kind of things. Because I'm sure she just wrote it in the moment and she didn't think about all this stuff when she was making it. Like,
she'll listen. She's like, you're both reaching. That's not what I said about it at all.
Well, that's the point. The whole point of pretty much all my content is reaching. I'm like, maybe it was this. Oh my God.
I think it's whatever, however it resonates with you, that is what it's meant to be, right?
Yeah.
Like all artists say, it's not my song anymore, it's your song.
Yeah,
so
you hand
do
it over.
What you want with it.
I enjoy this song. I like the vibe. Like, I really like the jagged, like, rhythm. Like, the syncopation in that is really satisfying.
What does that mean for us non-musically inclined
so,
people?
So syncopation is basically the offbeat. So it's that feeling of the Again, like, I really appreciated the slightly more alternative chords. I really, really appreciate hearing that. Because if you're trying to be big, often going for the alternative chords is not necessarily the way to go. And so I do always appreciate when, like, there is more kind of complex music going on underneath. Yes, so what was it? Use of lyrics repeating.
As in, like, the ending? Like, they're quite repetitive.
So the song, obviously it's called Here We Go Again, and the sections repeat, like, lyrically. And I really love the idea that she's formed a song about, like, maybe going around in circles, you know, not being able to figure out what they're doing, you know, here we go again, we're doing all this crap again, blah, 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 blah. And then it going around again. And it kind of, I love that kind of meta kind of narrative that, like, we're going through these things again and again and again, and we're not getting anywhere, you know?
And I think there's also in the second verse, but it's almost like it feels fresh.
It changes quite differently in the chorus. So when it comes back to that, it does feel fresh because it is quite different from the previous section, which is quite clever.
And it's got that subtle attitude. It's like, I don't know. It's just, I love the balance.
Yeah.
The production and just works so well with what she's saying, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I love that guitar hook.
They've got such good hooks throughout their discography. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The best pop music for me is like the balancing of complex things, like musically and production-wise, with hooks or with lyrics or with melodies that kind of bring it back down to earth so that the listener has something to latch on to. With a lot of Paramore songs, I feel like there's like layers to all of them so that you can listen to it and just sing the guitar line or the main chorus or whatever, but there's still so much to kind of dig into as a fan, you know. Now that you've explained the story to me, I get it a bit more. But I think when I first looked through the lyrics, for me, it wasn't very clear as to like what was the kind of central emotion. Obviously, the attitude change.
She's like, can't say I'm sad to see you go.
Can't say I'm sad to see you go. I found that a little bit confusing because I hadn't really cottoned on to what the actual kind of story was. So I think going back, I would probably appreciate it a lot more. But I think on first listen, it felt like the lyrics kind of needed a bit more development. But then, I mean, you know, like you said, 15 years old, like, you know, can't be too harsh, but I mean, I will be. But I think that's kind of where it kind of stopped me from connecting initially. I'm not sad enough. Okay, so let's go on to the final song that you've chosen. Please introduce this song for me.
So this song is off, it's a singles collection. That's what it was released on. It came out with two other songs and it is called In the Morning.
Okay, let's give it a listen.
In the morning.
My first reaction was, oh my God, folk music. And then I was like, oh my God, actually, it's kind of country, which is quite surprising. Like, very, very different vibe.
It's stripped back. It's raw. Again, so like, it's cool, I guess, to contrast this because I think this, oh God, when did it come out? I think it came out after Brand New Eyes. It's definitely after the Farrow brothers left, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, I see. 2011, it says.
Yeah, when did Brand New Eyes come out? I think 2009.
Yeah, 2009.
I'm actually a para whore. That is upcoming. So again, band like perspective, obviously they had a massive falling out. The Farrow brothers left. They wrote this scathing thing about Hayley. Like it was very toxic.
Yeah.
So again, you can take that these three songs were when the three of them were together. Like they even got the tattoo of the like album artwork.
Oh,
so it was like
three
obviously
lines.
The three lines.
Oh, I see.
To
and there's three songs.
Three of them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Three of them, yes. Yeah. So that alone is, you know, super, super sad. I mean, the title alone, In the Morning, either the morning of a new day or morning as in the loss of someone.
Just for everybody listening, it is spelled M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. And I was like, immediately I was like, oh God, this is genius.
Yeah. For me, when it came out, I was really good friends with someone. I'm not friends anymore with them. Sad.
Yeah.
Their father passed away. Very so close around this song. And I remember sending it to her.
Yeah.
I like just sent her the song, like nothing else. And she like started listening to it. She's like, I can't listen to that song. And like to this day, as far like when I last saw her a few years ago, she's like, I still have never listened to that song.
Oh,
she's like, I cannot
listen
to that song. So when I listen to it, I feel the loss for her. But again, it's very universal. You can apply this to anything, but it's definitely, again, it's definitely a breakdown song in terms of like a breakdown of a relationship of some form. Obviously, you got that relatability there, but just the pain in her voice. Again, it's just that raw stuff that Paramore does so well. And like, it takes all my strength not to dig you up from the ground in which you lay. The like goosebumps.
It takes all my strength not to dig you up from the ground in which you lay.
Like you were the greatest thing and now you're just a memory. Like what
I know,
the hell?
It's honestly fucking heartbreaking. So just for context, Ben sent me this song for me to make my notes and stuff for the podcast last week. I cried. First time I listened, I just sat there and cried. I was like, this is really sad and really beautiful.
You're like, why didn't I record this reaction?
Yeah. God damn it, I missed the content. So don't worry, there'll be plenty more songs for me to cry to. I don't know whether you've checked out many of my videos on my channel, but it's like every other video. Anyway, right, what were we saying? What have I written? Beautiful, stunning lyrics. The play on In the Morning is not only clever wordplay, but also works so magically as a positive and optimistic view of the grief process. You could tell.
Poetry.
You could tell. I actually spent a little bit of time actually thinking what I wanted to say here, because like, that's the thing is that like she says, "In the morning I'll rise, in the morning I'll let you die." But it's not only are those lyrics kind of optimistic. I'm going to grieve and I'm going to move on. It's also like the imagery of just a brand new morning, like a brand new day. You know, the sunlight coming out over the horizon. There's so much optimistic imagery in that. And so, for her to write this song that's a play on words, but works so beautifully in the kind of like not only the imagery but also the aim of the song. I just think it's amazing.
In the morning, I'll rise.
it's just one of those things that just works on so many levels. It's like, how have I never heard anybody do this before type thing, you know?
Yeah. Ugh. Again, it's like, is it about death or not? Like, it's just a loss, I think. But I think
it could be any loss, right? Yeah. Like,
literally.
I mean, that was how I related to it was like grief. And I think like the purpose of grief is to get those feelings out of your system.
Yeah.
But, you know, grief doesn't have to be just for, you know, death. It can be for grief of a loss of a relationship or grief for a loss of, like, you know, even like maybe part of your life that used to happen. And maybe you're right. Maybe in the context of the band, it could be cathartic for her to write a song that's mourning like the band as it was.
Yeah. And I think for her, like, well, from what I've, you know, seen interview wise, like it just changed so dramatically. Like it's all they've ever known. You know, they've grown up together and then for it to end so toxically, it's like, wow. Like,
and it was, and so publicly as well, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, for her to say, I'm going to rise, I'm going to move on, I'm going to continue going.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, very poignant. Oh my God. Yeah. I just love it.
Oh, literally, I get goosebumps just thinking about it.
Yeah.
It's, and like you said, like, there's not many songs. Obviously, there's so many sad songs about, you know, yada, 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 but there's really not many songs like this one where it just encapsulates the essence of the, like, her voice is honestly, like, that is just the saddest thing to listen to. Yeah. Like, again, her voice is such an instrument in itself.
Yeah.
But there's not many songs out there that can hit you like that and will hit anyone.
Yeah.
Again, that's gone through some form of loss.
Yeah.
And now there's nothing but time that's wasted and words that have no backbone.
So many performers, especially from that kind of era, you know, if you think about like Christina Aguilera and post Christina Aguilera, there was a lot of over singing going on for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's refreshing for like a big female vocalist, especially a big female vocalist in front of a rock band doing a lot of pop punk songs, actually saying, no, I'm not going to just go to 100 every single time. I'm going to give you levels and I'm going to make it true to what the story of the song is about. It's very refreshing and very music forward as opposed to like, you know, showing off, you know?
Yeah, the other two songs are so different to that one. So again, it's like, it's just such a moment. And I think just releasing it in real time, or I guess as close to real time as you presume, you know, that they recorded it. But it's, again, it's different artistry. Like, it's a different release. Artists don't generally, I mean, it's comparing now the streaming era, but like artists generally just didn't do that. Why would you put out three random singles? But for her, it was like, this is this era. Like, this is this moment, you know?
It needs to happen before we move on and do something redefining. Well, the next album was called Paramore, you know, redefining who they were with their name, with the name album.
Which, iconic. Like, I don't really like self-titled because I'm like, it's so boring. But I was like, oh my God, it's such a like, fuck you. Like, this album is just Paramore. Oh, like I said, that their story, someone needs to do a deep dive on you. Someone needs to do it because I'm too lazy. But like, make this deep dive of everything because it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Their music reflecting their actual journey through the music world.
And so this song and these three songs are such a pivotal moment because they weren't held back. I think had she done the traditional thing, wrote those songs and held them back for the next big project, for the next album, which was how you did things in those days, it wouldn't have had the same relevancy and it wouldn't have had the same kind of pivotal kind of nature of just these three little songs that just, represent a huge shift for them as a band.
In the morning, so good.
The whole bridge, I adore the whole bridge. I need to get the lyrics up for the bridge because like I was just reading them like, oh my God, like, it takes all my strength not to dig you up from the ground in which you lay. The biggest part of me, you were the greatest thing and now you're just a memory to let go.
You were the greatest thing and now you're just a memory to let.
And then there was another bit like where it's like, I can hear the echoes fading. I was like, oh my God, like fucking hell, like the echoes of what we were, of who we were, maybe of the memories of this person fading away slowly.
Can you hear me? Echoes fading.
And like just the ending, it's just so simple. It's so simple, but so hitting. Like the ending, you're just like, oh, you just killed me, girl. Like,
in the morning,
mourning myself.
And then the start, and then like just the repeating value of it, it's so nice because it ends, but then it's like, ding, ding, like it just, it's such a nice looping song.
It continues on, and that's the whole thing, isn't it? You continue, you just keep going.
Yeah.
Oh, ah, Oh my God. Was there anything else I wrote down? I actually literally wrote in my notes, should have reacted because I'm crying. Ha ha.
Literally, I said.
The country vibe of it. I don't really understand maybe why she decided to kind of end up doing like the lap steel and the country guitar chords and stuff.
Well, they are from Nashville. So I guess it could be like just stripping it right back to what they know. And I don't know, being simple. I don't really know the answer. I'm just...
But that could be what it is, yeah. That's essential context that I didn't know. So, yeah. And I suppose you could kind of see it as like, if they're breaking down over a band and this is the mourning of like who they used to be, maybe this is the genre for her that represents like bringing it back to basics. Finding something new by going down right down to the kind of core of like their music and their sound. But yeah. But I did, yeah, I was a little bit like, country song. Okay.
I wouldn't even think country with this. I guess I just call them acoustic. I'm like, oh yeah, just stripping it back.
Yeah, yeah.
You got
yeah.
a guitar there.
Yeah. Beautiful.
It was criminally underrated, I reckon.
Interesting. It remains to be seen. On my side. I'm going to give you one more chance. Franklin, tell me, why should it be criminally underrated?
It's a nostalgic pull, and it takes you back to any moment in your life where it was simpler, and it, or not even simpler, just a moment that you wish you could relive, whether it's bad or good. And again, I love how it's someone else pleading with you as well. So it could be in a conversation that you're having with someone. Mm. It's not just your own thoughts.
Yeah.
Because someone asking you, it's like, could you remind me, you know?
Yeah, I did love that about that song. Mm. Okay, here we go again. What's your last thing to say about that?
It's a classic breakdown of anyone. You want to always come across as the tough person, but it still hurt you at the end of the day. Like, this is such a sad breakup song or ending of a relationship song. And it's you realizing that at the same time as not wanting to maybe as well.
Yeah. See, that does, you know, that is good. Like, I, you know, I must say. Oh, okay. And then what about In the Morning? Is there anything else you can say?
I think it's their worst song. No, I mean,
trash.
I think, yeah, there's nothing bad you could say about this song, to be honest.
Yeah. Okay.
If you did, you would just be a hater for being a hater.
Well, is that a threat? Are you threatening me here? Oh, dear. Okay, so.
I also think all three songs will add such a diversity to the playlist of criminally underrated songs.
That's true. It is true.
When you've got Gaga songs, Taylor, been there, done that. This is the root
How
of underrated songs.
How could you say
songs.
It? Okay, so song number one, Franklin, my initial reaction was quite good. I did quite enjoy it. And I think like when we were talking about home and like the kind of relationship with that and how things change, I do think there's so much nuance in it. And I think that like the lyrics and the way that the, not only the lyrics, but the way that the song sounds truly reflects like that feeling of like homesickness and melancholy. And for that reason, drum roll, I'm going to say that Franklin is criminally underrated. Yeah, well done, well done. And then song number two, here we go again. See, I am torn because I kind of went in not really understanding the song and like your explanation of it, like what you were saying about like the fact that she's putting on a front, but you can still hear it, is very compelling for me. I think I'm going to go ahead and say that it is underrated, but not criminally underrated, because I do think it needs just an extra level for me. I think like it just needs an extra level of development and nuance for it to like really truly become top tier. I'm so sorry.
I could understand why it's just underrated.
Oh well.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault you have bad taste. Everyone's entitled to
you
their opinion. Even if it
everyone's
is
everyone's entitled to their wrong opinion, correct?
Oh dear. And then finally, In the Morning, I mean, what else is there to say? I think we said it all, didn't we? Like, it is heartbreaking, but also just so clever, and one of those songs that just works on such a level. It's more than a sum of its parts. I like saying that about songs. When there's a song that has has great lyrics, it has great melody, it has great, you know, performance and stuff. Sometimes it can still be great, but for some songs, the way in which all those things play together and the context and everything just raises it up to like next level. And I think for this, mm-hmm. like for me, this song just works on so many levels, not just the wordplay, but everything else and the imagery and the actually the meaning of it and the intention of like, you know, I will get out of bed and I will continue and I will put one foot in front of the other and keep going. It's just such a like beautiful statement to put in a song. And therefore, for all those reasons and more, In the Morning is a criminally underrated song and will go into the top 10 playlist. Well done. You got 2 out of 3. Well done.
Is that the best so far? No.
The Taylor Swift one, I put them all in.
That's rigged.
To be fair, like the first episode I did was like pilot episode and I recorded it with my best friend. So she knows exactly how to convince me.
Manipulation.
Manipulate me, yeah. She was literally like, yeah, but have you thought about this? Have you thought about this? And I'm like, fuck, you're right. Thank you so much for joining me, Ben. I've had so much fun. It has been an absolute dream. I'm so happy to have you on here. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yay.
And thank you for introducing me to these songs. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how many, if this will be the most viewed episode, Paramore are quite criminally underrated as a band. So I really hit the nail on the head with the brief. but yeah, I think if you love Paramore, I reckon I'm keen to hear or see what people think of the songs. And then if there's others that obviously, you know, we haven't spoken about.
Definitely. Like, make sure to leave a review. And if in the review you have any underrated songs or any opinions on our choices or Ben's choices for underrated songs, then make sure to write them in there. You can also follow us both on Instagram. Is it Instagram where you want them to follow you, or where do you want people to follow you?
I'm a bad marketer. My Instagram is the word gripping, as in you're gripping onto something. Anything, it's not that way inclined. Or you can find me on
on OnlyFans.
Correct, gripping at OnlyFans. Or on YouTube, Ben Shouts, Ben with 2 N's and Shouts. You'll find me.
Cool, amazing. So make sure to like, rate, follow, and leave a review on whatever podcast platform you are listening. And if you want any bonus content, including the extended version of this episode and the video version where you can see our beautiful mugs, or maybe you don't want to see that, then head over to Patreon for all the bonus content and get involved in the community. Thank you so much for joining me, Ben. Cool. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.